Quid Pro Quo by Seal Dog, read by Argentum Lupin. Long day? Reese looks up from where he's plunked his head down onto his folded arms to see the bartender place two foamy glasses of beer on their table. Beside him, Vaughn is still covering his face with his hands and letting out a low, distressed groan. Part of Reese is honestly impressed at how Vaughn's managed to make that sound constantly for almost 5 minutes now. He smiles tiredly at the bartender before nudging Vaughn and reaching for one of the drinks.
More like a long week. You have no idea. What's in these?
He raises the glass to his mouth and takes a sip. Poison, the bartender says cheerfully, and starts cackling when Reese splutters and spills half his drink all over himself. Out of the corner of his eye, he sees Vaughn finally take his hands off his face to squint at him.
I'm joking. It's beer. On the house, if you can give me a review of how it tastes. My girlfriend's trying out some new combinations. So, how's it?
The bartender takes out a rag and starts wiping the table down, pointedly nudging the other glass over to Vaughn, who obligingly takes a sip. Reese pats futilely at the beer on his jacket before giving up and reaching for his glass.
Not bad. Vaughn pipes up before taking another sip. What's that spicy taste from?
Reese takes a sip from his half-empty glass. Admittedly, he's not really a beer drinker, but this beer isn't so bad. Sweet, thick, and yes, a spicy sort of tang to it. He takes another sip and says,
It's nice. Kinda sweet. I like that.
Nice try, cutie. That spice is top secret. All right, any other comments?
When Vaughn and Reese awkwardly take another sip each, she sighs. You boys aren't very useful, but you're cute, so the beers are on the house anyway. Just give me a wave if you want to order anything else. The bartender winks at them before turning back to the bar, leaving her rag on the table, which Reese steals to surreptitiously dab at his jacket some more. He sits with Vaughn in companionable silence for a while, before the weight of the week he's had comes crashing back on him and he groans, slumping back onto his arms.
I feel you, buddy, Vaughn mutters. God, I can't believe we thought getting into Hyperion's internship program was bad. That was nothing. Nada. Zilch. Why did we do this again?
Reese rolls his head so he can see Vaughn's face.
Fame, glory, money, all of the above?
Vaughn snorts.
Fame and glory are pretty much the same thing, bro. And it's not like we're getting any since we're just lowly interns.
He squints and takes off his glasses to rub at them with his shirt.
Gotta admit, the pay's pretty good, though. Even for interns. Especially for interns. Did you hear? Margie from business got stuck with a doll internship, and apparently she's not getting paid anything. Sucks, huh?
They both sit in silence for a while, contemplating the horror that is an entire semester spent interning without pay. Hyperion may be exhausting, soul-sucking, and completely terrifying to work in, but at least they get a decent wage out of it, and a foot into actually properly working in Hyperion after they graduate. Vaughn eventually snaps out of it with a shudder.
Here, come on, to Margie, may she find some way to pay her rent this semester. And to us, for lasting an entire week, only 13 more to go.
They raise their almost empty glasses, clink them solemnly, and down them together.
Another drink? My treat, since us comp sci badasses get paid more than you losers in accounting.
Reese puffs his chest up, only to deflate with a dramatic wince when Vaughn smacks him cheerfully.
Huh, funny, let's see you keep saying that when I get promoted over your scrawny ass. Give me another one of those beers, will you? They're pretty good.
Vaughn waves him off, and Reese takes their glasses and goes over to the bar. As he heads back with their drinks, Vaughn looks up from where he's frowning down at his comm.
Reese, sorry, bro. Henderson called. He wants me back in to double-check some stuff, like, now.
He winces and gives Reese an apologetic smile.
Guess you'll have to drink that beer for me, huh?
Reese sets the drinks down and joins Vaughn in frowning at Vaughn's comm.
It's Friday evening, bro, and everybody was already leaving when we left. Why is he still there?
Vaughn shrugs.
Dunno, man, but it's Hyperion. You know the rumors about how some employees literally never leave more than once or twice a month.
He rubs at his face, smearing fingerprints over his freshly clean glasses. Watching him, Reese feels a pang of sympathy for his best bro. Vaughn has been coming home consistently later than him for the past week, and Henderson's clearly running him ragged, leaving Vaughn barely able to mumble greetings to Reese when he comes home before falling straight into bed.
Bro, don't worry about it, man. He probably needs you because you're the baddest, most calc-savvy accountant he has, and he knows it. Go on, go back to the office. I'll leave dinner in the fridge for you. We can celebrate our We Survived 1 Week achievement tomorrow night. He prods Vaughn off his chair and helps him put his jacket on, taking the opportunity to rub at his friend's tense shoulders. Vaughn gives Rhys a grateful smile and a bro fist before leaving, but not without turning at the entrance to send finger guns Rhys's way. Rhys watches him go and waits until he's gone before slumping back down into his seat. He eyes the two drinks in front of him before sighing heavily and pulling Vaughn's beer toward him first. Tomorrow they'll probably be celebrating with drinks again, but tonight he really needs something to get his mind off the week he's had. It's not like working for Hyperion is bad or anything. He knows full well how lucky he and Vaughn were to get their internships there, considering most of their classmates have been stuck like poor Margie in internships that don't pay much, or at all, at companies that don't have nearly half as much the power and reputation of Hyperion. Just having the Hyperion name on their resumes is bound to make them attractive job candidates when they graduate, and their chances of getting to work properly for Hyperion itself are bound to skyrocket. Look at Yvette, their friend a year ahead of them. She got an internship at Hyperion last year, and now she's working there, although that doesn't seem to stop her from mooching off them at lunches. Shaking his head to get rid of the memory of Yvette wheedling a free lunch from them just earlier today, he downs the rest of Vaughn's beer before turning to eye his own drink, a shiny cocktail the same bright yellow as the Hyperion badge on his jacket, picked precisely for that reason. Taking a deep breath, he picks it up and downs it too, to drown out the self-conscious edge he feels about drinking alone now that Vaughn's gone. A fuzzy amount of time later, Rhys is shaken from his staring match with his... fourth? Fifth? He would very much like to say fifth drink, but everything had gone kind of fuzzy after the second yellow cocktail, and Rhys is now busy... having a staring match with his drink. The bright yellow seems to be mocking him somehow. Could drinks mock? This one could, somehow. With its Hyperion face, kind of like Vasquez's. The prodding hand that had nearly broken his concentration earlier comes to wave in front of his eyes, breaking his line of sight. Which counts as the drink blinking, right? Ha! Take that, you lose! Rhys yelps in triumph, and raises a hand to high-five the helpful hand. Or, at least, he tries to. Instead, his chair somehow seems to take a sidestep away from underneath him, and when he blinks, he's suddenly on the floor staring woozily up at the bartender. Hey, bartender. Janet, right? My new best friend. Shh, don't tell Vaughn. You bring me drinks, you're great. Rhys enthusiastically tells her, drawing that last word out for a really long time to emphasize just how great she is. Which she is. She's the source of the six... or was it five? Drinks he'd downed so enthusiastically, which automatically promotes her to best friend because drinks are good. Oh my god, how are you so drunk? Those drinks have barely any alcohol in them, you lightweight! And you were fine 2 minutes ago! The bartender sounds vaguely put out, and Rhys slowly drags himself up and back into his seat to get a closer view of her face. The bar's closing, goofus! Go on, you gotta get back home or wherever, just not here. She starts prodding at Rhys again, annoying little pushes that distract him with every new touch. Rhys blearily looks around the bar. It does look suspiciously emptier than when he'd first arrived. But surely it's not closing time. Closing time is... late. And he hasn't been here that long. Has he? He fumbles in his jacket pocket for his comm, but as soon as he gets it out, it beeps at him in an almost apologetic manner before the power-down animation plays. Confused, he pokes at it. Beside him, the bartender sighs heavily. Your comm's out of battery, dumbass! Come on, let's get you out of here! She shoves the comm back into Rhys's pocket and squeezes her way under Rhys's arm to pull him up, supporting them both as they make their way toward the entrance. Rhys watches, entranced, as his legs seem to move of their own accord, pulled along by the power of the bartender's headscarf or something. Before they get to the entrance, however, the door slams open, whipping cold air into their faces, followed by a loud voice. Janie, my man, woman, my favorite bartender slash mechanic slash Athena whisperer. Whimpering, Rhys squints and turns his face away from the cold air swirling in and into the bartender's warm neck, only to be thrown abruptly away when she yelps in surprise and shoves at him.
He stumbles straight into the source of the loud voice, which turns out to be a chest that's very large and very warm and very good at blocking the cold air. Mumbling in relief at the warmth, he pats gently at the firm surface in gratitude.
What the hell, Janie? What is this crap? Here, take it back.
The voice rumbles out, seemingly from beneath the warm surface he's resting on, and Reese's appreciation of it is suddenly interrupted by two hands shoving him off and back to the bartender. One of yours, apparently. I didn't know you'd stoop to hiring babies now, by the way. Wow, and no, don't give him back to me, or give me that look either. It's closing time, and you know it. Another pair of hands join the one pushing at his front, only these are pushing from the back. Confused, Reese tries to open his eyes, but everything seems to be wiggling, and groaning, he closes them again, trying to bat weakly at the hands in front of him.
Aw, come on, Janie, I'm like your favorite and best customer. One drink, maybe two, or a lot. Don't give me that look, you know I'm right.
And stop shoving him back at me, I don't even know this loser. One final shove comes at Reese's back, and a muffled grunt from the voice in front of him as Reese is pushed forward into the warm chest. Behind him, a door slams, leaving Reese trying to burrow his way into the warm chest to survive the cold outside.
What the? Hey, kid. Come on, kiddo, stand up on your own goddamn two legs. Holy hell, how do you walk on those stilts of yours?
One broad hand shoves him upright. Reese squints at the hand, and then at the other hand that suddenly appears at his chest to pluck at his name tag.
Oh, Hyperion name tag. R-H-Y-S. What even kind of... Wow, Janie wasn't kidding. We're actually hiring kids now? Jeez, frickin' lightweights.
Reese rolls his head until it's planted against the warm neck of the person supporting him. The warm liquid feeling that has spread from his stomach to his body and that makes him feel all nice and fuzzy is loosening him up, making everything around him feel... more. The biting cold air at his back, the furnace-like body in front of him, and the large hands at his back and side. Pleased, he hums and presses himself against the pleasantly warm and hard body.
Oh, someone's friendly when drunk.
The hand at his back begins to rub slowly up and down, and Reese can't help but arch into it, enjoying the way it seems to make the liquid warmth pool in his guts. No, lower down. Groaning, he makes an attempt to lift his head and look at the face of the person bringing such light into his life, but the stranger's other hand has smoothed its way up his side to land firmly on the back of his neck, under his jacket, holding him in place with a casually possessive strength that's incredibly intoxicating. Giving up, he rubs his face into the person's neck, mouthing faintly at the smooth hot skin there, mostly because it smells good and he wonders what it tastes like. He's rewarded with a pleased hum from the person, and the hand at his back dips slightly lower, pressing his hips closer and encouraging him to slowly grind against the welcoming thigh pressing between his legs.
Well, hello, kitten. Looks like you might actually make up for this shitty alcoholless night I've had so far. Hey!
The hands move to his shoulders to pull him away to arm's length, forcing Reese to squint and whine quietly, leaning forward to try and get back to the nice position. Unfortunately, the hands don't let go, and instead give him a little shake, which, ow, rude.
Hey, sweet cheeks, how drunk are you? Oh, wow, look at you, beautiful.
One hand finally lets go, but it's to reach down and take Reese's mechanical hand, pulling it up to examine it. The stranger hums contemplatively, pushing the sleeve of Reese's right arm up to examine the joints at the wrist, before dropping the hand to grab Reese's chin and force him to look up at the stranger, instead of down where he's been staring longingly at the stranger's broad chest, beckoning him forward with its siren call of warmth and muscle. When he finally drags his eyes up, he sees a vague impression of strong, angled features and a really nice mouth, before his eyes slide back down of their own volition and he slumps into the hands holding him up.
Okay, kitten, how drunk are you? Because I have plans for you and questions about that hand of yours. Is it just your hand or your whole arm or... Wait, no, seriously, how drunk are you right now, Reese?
The stranger slowly tilts Reese's chin side to side, only stopping when Reese sluggishly bats at him.
I'm not drunk, and please don't call me, don't call me that.
He mumbles, then groans in relief as the hands pull him close again.
Feels good. You feel...
He trails off, arching his body into the stranger's.
Touch me again?
He whines, and hears a low chuckle before the hands begin to stroke down his back, firm, warm pressure that dips slightly lower with each pass.
All right, no need to pout at me like that.
The stranger gives him one last stroke before smacking him on his ass, making him jerk sluggishly.
Come on, Pumpkin, let's go back to mine.
Unfortunately, as the stranger slings an arm under his to walk them both toward a waiting car, Reese slowly comes to the realization that he might or might not actually be kind of really fucking drunk. Might seems to be winning out over might not right now, which would really suck, considering the person he seems to have inadvertently picked up is A, really hot, and B, very clearly down for sexy times. Of all the ways to, finally, lose his virginity, drunk and unable to see his partner's face was really not the way he wanted to tell Vaughn about later. A small nagging part deep inside him that has been decidedly unimpressed with tonight's event so far points out that he still doesn't even know the person's name, but he shushes it. By the time they're both seated in the blessedly warm taxi, and the stranger has snapped directions at the pleasant voice of the taxi's console, Reese has forgotten both the nagging voice and his drunkenness. He loses himself in the way the stranger pulls him sideways to lean heavily against him, and in the sensation of a hand snaking its way down to press against the front of his pants. It barely seems like any time has passed in the blur of hot mouths and wet, aching bites, sharp inhales, and, "Yes, kitten, come on." But when Reese surfaces, the car has come to a stop and the stranger is impatiently pulling at his hand, dragging him out and into the lobby of a very fancy-looking building, and into an even fancier-looking elevator. The stranger slams the button for the top floor and turns back to Reese, pressing him against the elevator walls, and going back to mouth at the growing hickey on Reese's neck with a vengeance, as if the short pause between the car and the elevator was a personal insult to him. Reese very willingly bends his head to the side and curls one hand into the stranger's thick, wavy hair, carding through it gently. His other hand presses against the wall beside him, tenuously holding him up as he gasps and arches, the biting sensations at his neck sending spikes of pleasure threading through his body. Getting from the elevator to the front doors is another blur, one marked by hot breaths and stuttered groans, but when the door finally opens, they both stumble in and collapse on the floor, the stranger's hand chivalrously coming up to cushion Reese's head before it hits. His weight and sheer breadth presses down on Reese, making him breathless and even harder than before, and he bucks up, whining.
Ah, God, how are you? Come on, I want to feel you around my cock. Stop distracting.
The stranger grinds down against Reese in blatant contradiction to his own words, hands working under Reese's shirt and pressing into his underwear. Reese tries to cooperate, but gets distracted by the smooth skin at the small of the stranger's back, lost in feeling the muscles there move sinuously under his fingers. They stay there for a while, hands messily grabbing at each other while the cool floor beneath him slowly warms up, a pleasant contrast to the hot, hard body pressing down against him. Deliriously, Reese wonders if he's maybe drunk himself into an incredibly vivid hallucination. Everything about this stranger seems right out of one of his wet dreams, and believe him, he's had a lot. He's a young red-blooded male, but between school and the LAN parties he and Vaughn have, there hasn't really been any time or opportunities. This stranger, though, is ticking so many boxes. Just as Reese thinks that, the stranger climbs up and pulls Reese up along with him, before cupping his thighs and lifting him right up off the floor, ticking off another one of those boxes in glorious style. Unfortunately, the sudden change in altitude is doing funny things to his stomach, which had been protesting the lack of food and copious amounts of alcohol since before the car ride, but which now renews its protests with fervor.
Oh my God, put me... Oh my God!
Reese slaps frantically at the stranger's arms and stumbles onto all fours when the stranger releases him with a confused,
huh? Followed quickly by an, oh jeez,
as Reese's stomach wins the battle and he starts throwing up. Onto the floor that he'd just been lying on, which, now that he sees it from this angle, is clearly expensive and fancy to match the fancy building and fancy elevator. Seriously, why? Why is his life like this?
Aw, man, that's friggin' disgusting, kiddo. What the hell?
The stranger's incredulously offended voice cuts cruelly through the miserable fog that the good feelings have evaporated into Reese's head, and he lets out an embarrassed moan that morphs into more half-digested alcohol making its way up and out of his mouth.
Oh my God, I give up! This night sucks! This entire day sucks! I am completely surrounded by imbeciles!
Dimly, he hears the stranger's voice fading away as he stalks off.
Cringing, Reese curls tighter into himself, praying that this is all just part of a horrible nightmare, and he did not just embarrass himself so thoroughly in front of the first person he's ever picked up, and who is probably way beyond his league. The stranger's voice and thudding booted footfalls come back again.
Hey, piss for brains. Do me a favor and get yourself the hell out of my house and clean up that stinking mess before you do, because if I come out tomorrow morning and either you or that mess is still there, you're gonna regret ever coming out of your mom, and don't think I won't know where to find you either.
That last bit is punctuated with a thin, pathetic rag that lands on Reese's head and slowly slides down the side to fall into the vomit he's curled over. The stranger leaves again, footsteps somehow radiating irritation and exasperation with every thud, which eventually get cut off by the sound of a door slamming, very loudly. Whining, Reese almost bangs his head against the floor until he remembers that doing so would just compound the misery by smearing puke all over his face. Instead, he slowly crumples to the side, curling around the gross puke like some kind of penance. Somehow, he blames the alcohol still in his system, he falls asleep. A constant prodding at his robotic hands slowly pushes him to wakefulness, and when he opens his eyes a crack and uncurls his left arm from around his face, the blindingly bright sunlight that greets him throws him the rest of the way into really awake and really fucking horrified. Frantically, he sits up and looks down at the floor to confirm that, yes, he had apparently gone home with someone last night, and then puked all over their floor, and then gone to sleep practically in the puke. Groaning, he rubs at his face with his flesh hand, only to drop it in disgust when a faint, acrid tang hits his nose. That's when he sees the source of the prodding from earlier. In front of him, kneeling fastidiously on the other side of the puddle of half-dried vomit, is a young girl, large eyes fixed on him in what's either fascination or disgust, or quite possibly both. When she sees he's awake, she flushes and quickly stands up, taking a few steps back, eyes still fixed on him.
Hey, Reese calls out softly, not wanting to scare her.
She takes a step back, and he winces, trying desperately to think past the pounding in his head. You smell. Her voice pipes up, and he whips his head up to look at her. She wrinkles her nose at him and points to the puke. You should probably clean that up. Daddy won't wake up anytime soon, but he probably won't be happy if he sees that. He gapes at her, confused. Is she the kid of the guy he went home with last night? What the hell, was the guy going to have sex with a stranger while his daughter was home? Christ, he hopes she'd been asleep by the time they got there. His memories of the night before are vague and fuzzy, but he definitely remembers making a lot of noise. Speaking of which, how did he even get here? His attempts at recalling the night before are interrupted by the girl clearing her throat softly. He looks up at her apologetically.
Sorry, hey, do you know where I can get stuff to, clean this?
He gestures helplessly at the floor. She gives him a small smile and nods, turning and walking off. There's a sink you can wash up there. I'll get you some of Daddy's old clothes. She points ahead and to the left, and then quietly disappears through a door set into the wall on his right that he hadn't noticed. In her absence, Reese struggles to get up, eventually manages it, and takes stock of himself. Okay, his shirt is a crumpled, untucked mess, and he'd somehow managed to fall asleep with his jacket half twisted off him, but when he shrugs it back on, it covers the crumpled indignity of his shirt, and the only puke on it is on the left sleeve. His pants, however, have a long streak of dried puke along the left side that he grimaces at, and there's a horribly sticky feeling in his underwear. Great. He makes his way to the sink, casually looking around, and not so casually gaping at everything he sees. Everything in here looks like it would take him about 100 years of interning at Hyperion to afford. Each. Also, he'd apparently fallen asleep near the dining area, and he silently thanks his lucky stars that he hadn't puked on the incredibly soft and expensive-looking carpet beneath the dining table. When he's done scrubbing at his jacket and pants with water from the sink, he turns around, wondering where the girl is. And when it turns out she's been sitting at the breakfast bar behind him, patiently watching him all this while, he absolutely does not jump or startle in any way. Here, pants and a shirt. They're Daddy's, but from the pile he never touches, so it should be okay? She tilts her head at the clothing in a pile next to her. Reese dries his hands off and picks them up. An old t-shirt and a pair of sweatpants, both gray with red and black stripes along the side. He nods his thanks at her, but then freezes as he realizes he has no idea where the bathroom is.
May I use your bathroom?
He waves the clothing awkwardly. She points behind him, but says, "You should probably change here, though. The door's coded for daddies and my access only. I won't peek, I promise." And follows it up by very seriously turning around and placing her hands over her eyes. Reese looks between the door she pointed at, which does indeed seem to have some kind of scanner lock, and the girl who sits there with her eyes still covered, legs swinging, in a manner more patient than any kid has right to be. Weighing his options, he decides the potential embarrassment of having a kid see his body seems like a better option than accidentally setting off an alarm and waking her father. Vaguely, he seems to recall something about, "Get yourself the hell out of my house and clean up that stinking mess before you do." And he undresses as fast as he can, gulping nervously. When he's done, he bundles his still faintly vomit-scented clothes and clears his throat. "Oh, you're done? That's fast." The girl spins on her chair to face him again. She then points to a spray bottle and cloth on the table and says, "Cleaning supplies," eyes fixed on his now exposed robotic arm. She doesn't say anything, though, which is fairly nice, because most people usually just ask, and he's definitely not up to answering questions about his arm right now. Nodding in acknowledgement, Reese gingerly sets his bundle of clothes down, making sure that the part touching the floor is clean, and gets to work. When he's done, he looks up. The girl is no longer watching him, but tapping at the smallest comm he's ever seen, legs idly kicking at her chair again. As if feeling his gaze on her, she looks up and tucks her dark hair aside from where it's fallen over one eye. "All done? Okay, you can leave the bottle there, but take the rag with you." She hops off the stool and looks at him expectantly. Taking the hint, Reese grabs his clothes, places the bottle on the counter where she points, and follows her to the entrance. Before he gets out of the front door, though, he turns around and says to her, "Thank you for waking me up and the clothes and stuff. Bye," and turns and flees. Behind him, he hears a soft echoed, "Bye," but then he sees the waiting elevator and sprints toward his freedom. When he finally gets back, after a very frustrating time of trying to find a taxi, and then not realizing that he'd been right smack in the rich private sector and therefore incredibly far away from home, and his taxi fare really way more than he can afford, he closes the door and turns to smack his head against it. Unfortunately, he underestimates the distance, either due to the banging headache behind his echo eye, or because he is the biggest fucking idiot ever. Christ. "Ow, why?" he moans, regretting everything. "Reese!" Yelping, he spins around, almost dropping his clothes as he realizes he's not alone in the living room. In front of him, Vaughn bolts up from where he's camped out on the couch, worried lines running all over his face. "Oh my God, you asshole! Where were you last night? I was worried sick!" Vaughn's still wearing the clothes he had on last night, and Reese feels a pang of guilt. As he opens his mouth, though, Vaughn's eyes suddenly narrow as he takes Reese's appearance in. "Did you? Oh my God, bro, did you hook up with someone? Is that a massive hickey on your neck? Dude, that is totally a massive hickey on your neck. Nice." And Reese is abruptly reminded of the events of last night, and especially why he's in a stranger's clothes. Flushing, he awkwardly tries to cover the bruise on his neck before giving up and going over to sit down beside Vaughn, slumping against him and dropping his head onto Vaughn's comfortable, and actually weirdly buff for such a short dude, but never ever tell him that, shoulder. "Vaughn, bro, I fucked up, man." He sighs and allows himself to slump even further. "After you left, I drank some of those Hyperion yellow drinks. Dude, don't ever drink those drinks."
"Dude, the bright yellow ones at Janie's have like barely any alcohol in them, man. How many did you drink?"
Reese frowns, holding up a hand to try to count them off.
Five, I think. Maybe six?
Vaughn snorts and gently shrugs the shoulder Reese is leaning on.
"Bro, you're a lightweight, man. Just resign yourself to it."
"Okay, go on. You fucked up. Did you strip naked on the table or something?"
"Haha, that was one time, and we don't ever speak of that. And no, I somehow picked someone up while drunk, and we went back to his place, and then I threw up on his floor and passed out."
Reese cringes at the memory. There's a long silence, and then Reese feels Vaughn kind of jiggling underneath him. Surprised, he sits up.
"Bro, are you crying? Out of pity for me? Or are you... Oh my God, you're laughing. Yep, laughing. That's great, bro. Thanks very much."
That last bit is drowned out as Vaughn gives up on holding his laughter and starts cackling and whooping madly.
Oh my god, dude, only you, man, only you. Ah, Reese, what would I do without you in my life?
Vaughn pantomimes, wiping at his eyes, and Reese scowls and punches him.
Okay, but is that why you're wearing new clothes? Because you...
Pause for snickering. Thanks, Vaughn, very brotherly of you. Threw up all over yourself?
Reese looks down to pluck at the ill-fitting clothing he's wearing. The shirt is way too big for him, slipping off a shoulder, and the pants are loose on the hips and hang about an inch or two short. They're comfortable, though, worn soft and thin.
Yeah, the guy's kid gave me some of his old clothes and helped me get the cleaning stuff. Oh, did I mention, he's got a kid. Cute kid, about 6 or so. Kind of likes to sit and stare really quietly, though.
Huh, Vaughn says, frowning. He has a kid but brought you back? To the house where he's staying with the kid? Oh my god, what if he's cheating on the kid's mom? Dude, you're the other woman!
Reese rolls his eyes, pretending not to feel the twinge of unease. What if he had been, like, a random pickup for the guy to cheat on someone with? It would have been just his luck, really.
Wait, you puked all over your clothes? Like, the ones you're holding right now? As you're sitting next to me? Dude!
Vaughn squawks and shoves Reese away and off the couch.
Oh my god, bro!
When Reese gets out of the shower, feeling a lot better for being clean and back in his own clothes, he's assaulted by the beautiful, awe-inspiring smell of bacon. Still drying his hair, he walks past the dining table and pokes his head into the kitchen.
Hey, bro, you're finally out. Here, breakfast.
Vaughn slides two plates of eggs and bacon onto the rickety dining table while Reese pours out juice for them both, and they squeeze in to eat, elbowing each other for space.
You still owe me dinner for last night, by the way, and for making me worry,
Vaughn points out in between mouthfuls of bacon.
And then another for cooking breakfast for your hungover ass today. As the friendly accountant to your code monkey ass, I highly recommend you round it up and just treat me to dinner for all of next week.
Reese snorts, but before he can answer, their house comm rings. After a fast and furious 3-round match of rock-paper-scissors, he goes to pick it up, ignoring Vaughn's triumphant crowing in the background.
Hey, Fiona.
His greeting is interrupted by a loud, garbled shriek coming from the comm. Wincing, he leans around the end table the comm sits on to jiggle the comm's connector properly into place. Damn thing got knocked loose once, and they're both too lazy, and broke, to afford to repair it properly. The connection clears up quickly, and Fiona's familiar voice comes through.
Reese, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, sorry. The comm was being weird again. Sup? Vaughn's home too. Want me to put you on speaker?
He says, grinning obnoxiously at Vaughn's panicked reaction.
Yeah, sure, and you can tell that calculator-tapping jerk.
A hologram of her head pops up over the comm to indicate her being on speaker.
That he still owes me 2 shirts after his last moronic attempt at cooking dinner with Sasha.
Vaughn and Reese both wince at the memory.
Yeah, hey, Fiona, sorry about that, Vaughn mutters apologetically.
Good, you better be. Anyway, I didn't call just to remind him about that. I've got a job for either one of you. Yes, I know you're both supposed to be taking a break while you do your internship, but Sasha's really sick, because she and August somehow decided to try cooking with skag juice for some reason, and they're both suffering from it, aren't you?
That last part is answered by a distant groaning sound.
That's Sasha, by the way. She says hi.
The groaning sound gets louder before petering off. Reese mouths, skag juice? At Vaughn, who shrugs, looking equal parts confused and nauseated.
Anyway, I don't think this will be anything you guys can't handle. One session a week, every Saturday afternoon, and nothing too strenuous, since the client only wants to cover the basics. I really want this client on a roster, though, if only just for how much he's willing to pay. He's got an 8-year-old daughter who's been homeschooled so far, and he wants someone to just go over the basics with her.
At 8-year-old, Vaughn starts shaking his head and muttering, "Nope!"
I can't hear anything, but I'm guessing Vaughn is refusing. Still traumatized from the last calculator menace, Vaughn.
Fiona's voice is teasing, and Reese grins as Vaughn scowls at her hologram head.
No way, Fiona. Nuh-uh. I'll buy your shirts. Just don't make me do this one.
Vaughn picks up his plate and cup and goes into the kitchen to clean up, ignoring Reese when he holds up his plate in mute plea. Giving up, Reese sets his plate back down and goes back to finishing his juice.
Yeah, he's in the kitchen now. So who's this client anyway, and why is he willing to pay so much for basic stuff?
There's a sighing sound from the comm, which is always kind of weird for Reese, because it's not like the hollow head's mouth moves to match it, but, well.
Well, I don't know who the client is either. Whoever it was insisted on privacy, but they came with really good references. Can't say I know why they want to hire a tutor to teach an 8-year-old basic stuff either, but maybe it's a really eccentric parent? Anyway, they're willing to pay a lot. Like, up to 4 times our normal pay rates.
Fiona's voice sounds impressed, which is... impressive. Then Reese makes the calculations and nearly spits out his juice.
Holy crap!
Uh-huh.
Man, Sasha's gonna be really mad she missed this.
Reese shakes his head. Sasha is in Vaughn's and Reese's year, but she opted not to do the internship because she didn't want to have to stop working at her sister's tutoring agency. Missing out on a job like this would really suck, and there's no way her and August's skag juice experiment would have been worth it.
Yep, she is.
In the background of Fiona's wry words, he can hear Sasha kind of going, very expressively. Vaughn, returning from the kitchen, gives the comm a double take and turns right around to go back.
In any case, there's a catch.
Damn it.
There's no guarantee you'll get the job. He wants a trial session first, like an interview of sorts. Sasha was supposed to go in today, but, well, will you go, Reese?
Fiona's voice is pleading.
Even if you don't get it, Sasha can go again next Saturday. But if there's nobody for the first meeting, it's unprofessional and embarrassing, you know?
Reese nods before remembering that the hollow Fiona can't actually see him.
Right, yeah, I got it. Thanks for the vote of confidence, by the way, boss. Really encouraging of you.
Ignoring Fiona's sarcastic laughter, he continues.
So, when and where?
After an hour or two gaming with Vaughn, the last remnants of his hangover are gone, and he's ready to leave to meet the new prospective client. He checks himself one last time in the mirror, his most professional blue shirt, neat and tucked in, his tie, also neat and also tucked in, his pants, a beautifully neat crease down the sides and long enough to cover his socks, unprofessional but entertaining, and out of sight anyway, so whatever, his shoes, shiny. Then he picks up his comm, makes sure the address Fiona sent is in it, and leaves to find a taxi. As the taxi speeds off toward the building, he fiddles around on his comm. There's a picture from Fiona of Sasha lying half off the couch with a bucket next to her, and he chuckles, replying with a picture of Vaughn shrieking into his controller after Reese beat the crap out of him earlier today. He'd known that pic would be useful. After checking around on his Hyperion and school emails and replying to Vaughn's message about dinner tonight, he puts his comm away and looks up, expecting the taxi to stop soon. When he glimpses the meter, he winces at the fare, but unlike this morning's trip, this ride would be covered by the agency, so he just shrugs and tries not to look at it. The taxi eventually pulls to a stop in front of a building that looks vaguely familiar. Waiting for the taxi's console to finish deducting his credits, he looks around the equally vaguely familiar street, wondering if maybe he'd come here before to tutor someone else or something. The elevator of the building only makes the twinge of uneasy familiarity worse, and pressing the button for, seriously, the penthouse apartment leaves him feeling a distinct sense of déjà vu, coupled with a foreboding kind of aftertaste. Getting out at the penthouse level, he walks to the only door on the level and is hit by a horrible dawning realization.
Surely, no, no way, even his normally shitty luck wouldn't be this shitty, right? Oh, crap.
Maybe he got the address wrong? Nope, the blinking dot on his comm suggests he's at the right door. Or possibly the wrongest door he could be at, depending on how you looked at it. Desperately trying to convince himself that this kind of coincidence was way beyond any league of possibilities, he steels himself and rings the doorbell. Whatever feeble arguments against odds and luck he had all dwindle and flee when the door is opened, and he sees the same girl from this morning.
Oh, you again? Hello?
The girl frowns at him, looking him up and down. Reese tries to say anything, literally anything, but all he can do is gape.
Angel, is that someone from the tutoring agency?
A loud voice approaches from inside the house, and the door the girl, Angel, is holding is pushed all the way open, and Reese abruptly wishes he could hurl himself down the elevator shaft.
You.
Angel's father and the guy whose floor Reese had puked on last night, as well as the guy who has really nice warm hands that Reese definitely remembers grabbing him by the butt last night, stands there, eyes narrowed at Reese in disdain. Reese clears his throat.
Hi, yes, me,
he says, trying desperately to hold eye contact with handsome Jack, Hyperion CEO, and the man even Reese's terrifying boss is terrified of.
You, Handsome Jack agrees, eyes still narrowed at Reese. Oh, geez, how had he missed those eyes and that freaking mask last night? You'd think having someone's face at your neck would make it hard to miss that kind of thing, but apparently not. What, didn't puke over enough on my floor last night? Back to finish the job? A large part of Reese, okay, nearly all of him, wants to run back to the safety of the elevator and abandon the job, but he remembers Fiona's words, and more importantly, how much she said the client was willing to pay, and steels himself, nervously running his hand over his hair and setting his jaw. He holds out his hand to Jack and says, Hi, my name is Reese. Fiona sent me to interview for the tutoring position for your daughter. Toward the end, his words kind of waver a bit, but that's because Jack's blatantly ignoring his hand in favor of giving him a long look up and down. The smirk on his face is making Reese feel really uncomfortable, and Jack seems able to tell, because the smirk only widens when Reese feels a flush start at his neck. Deciding to ignore Jack, he instead turns to Angel, who's still standing beside Jack, eyeing them both with the same quiet intensity he remembers from this morning. Crouching down so he's eye level with her, he holds out his hand to her instead. Hi, Angel, right? She glances up at her father before looking back to Reese and nodding warily. Encouraged, he continues. I'm Reese. Sorry about the way we met earlier today, but thanks again for your help this morning. A snort comes from above them, but Reese firmly continues ignoring Jack, and Angel reaches out to shake his hand shyly, which he thinks is a good sign. As she takes his hand, her eyes go to it like they did in the morning when she first saw the robotic hand, and she only lets go after giving him a very lingering handshake. Still, she doesn't ask any questions, and Reese kind of wonders if she's just naturally uncurious, which would make her the first kid he's ever met who is, or if she's just very polite, or something else. Standing back up, he turns back to Jack, mentally preparing himself. My apologies for my behavior last night. He glances back down at Angel, who's still watching his hand with fascination. I don't really remember everything, but I know I made a mess, so sorry about that. Jack's eyebrows shoot up when Reese says that, but he doesn't say anything and actually doesn't even seem to be looking Reese in the eye. Confused, Reese looks down, following Jack's line of sight, only to turn red and frantically adjust the collar of his shirt, where the bruise Jack, oh my god, handsome Jack gave him a hickey, Vaughn is never going to believe this, gave him last night peeks out, a violent purplish red. Flushing, he fiddles with the collar some more as the silence in the doorway grows awkward between the three of them. Finally, Reese looks up, eyes flickering over Jack's face to try to gauge his reaction. To his surprise, Jack catches his eye, and then grins at him slowly. It's kind of terrifying, but also really attractive, but that might be because it's terrifying. Reese's mouth is so dry right now. Wait, so you don't remember anything from last night? Wow, you must have been really friggin' confused when you woke up today, huh? Which, by the way, good job cleaning up after yourself, especially since you apparently don't remember me telling you to. Good initiative, very responsible, sort of. Jack reaches forward and claps Reese on the shoulder heavily. But what makes you think I'm gonna let an alcoholic with no sense of personal space get anywhere near my baby girl? Huh, you crack me up, kiddo. Well, by now, I'll let everybody know exactly what kind of tutoring company you guys are running, so see you never. He pushes Reese away from the door and makes to close it. Panicked, Reese jams his foot in between the door and the door jamb, only to regret it when Jack just raises an unimpressed eyebrow at him and slams the door into his foot. And then again. And again. Ow. Oh my god, wait, will you please hear me out? Reese yelps in between the sharp bursts of pain as Jack continues to gleefully slam the door against his foot. Beside Jack, Angel watches on with the same expression she had when she was waking Reese up in the morning, somewhere between long-suffering and distaste. Look, I'm really, ow, sorry about last night, but that's on, ouch, me, and not on Fiona or the rest. Please give them another chance. Sasha and Vaughn are really responsible, and anyway, it's kind of your fault. Okay, so he hadn't meant to blurt that last bit out, but the pain in his foot is really antagonizing, and it kind of works. Jack stops banging his foot with the door and stares incredulously at Reese instead. What's that, sugar? My fault? That you got so drunk at Janie's and came on to me and then puked all over my floor? Seriously, Cupcake, want to try that again? The weird thing is, Jack doesn't actually look angry. Instead, he actually looks like he's interested in whatever excuse Reese can come up with.
which is unexpected, but still very terrifying. Reese glances down at Angel, who's still quietly watching the conversation. Look, can we... May I please come in? He doesn't mention the fact that his foot is really beginning to throb now because he has a feeling Jack would just laugh. Jack looks down too and seems almost surprised to see his daughter watching them as if he's forgotten she was there.
Huh. Sweetheart, why don't you go and get the stuff you prepared for your first tutoring session and wait for us in the living room?
When Angel nods and patters off, he turns back to Reese.
And you. You can go stand where you threw up last night. I'm sure you remember that. Well, are you coming in or not?
Reese cautiously steps in, trying and failing to cover up his wince when he puts his weight on his definitely bruised foot. He fails, if Jack's smirk is any indication. Jack closes the door behind him, locking it with some taps on what looks like an ordinary part of the door, but which responds to his taps by whirring and clicking the door into place. Fascinated by this glimpse at the lifestyle of the rich, famous, and murderous, Reese activates his Echo Eye to try to scan the mysterious mechanism of the door. When he tries, though, an error message flashes across his eye, and he gets a jolt through his head for his trouble.
Fucking ow!
He hisses, clutching at his face, only to yelp in more pain when Jack smacks him in the back of the head, hard.
Language?
Jack's voice is as jovial as ever, but there's an undercurrent of genuine threat for the first time, and Reese straightens up instinctively.
Did you try to do something to my door? Use your comm?
Jack peers at him.
Oh, right. I wanted to ask you last night before you went all puke-a-thon on me. What's with your arm?
He casually reaches for it, but holds his hands up when Reese jerks back without thinking, eyes still stinging from the scan.
My arm? It's based on something I did for my undergraduate thesis. Made an arm prototype with rudimentary programs for everyday use, and got offered the chance to make one of my own when someone at Hyperion saw my thesis and liked it. And I wasn't trying to do anything to your door. I was just wondering how it worked, so I tried to scan it.
Reese rubs at his Echo Eye. The last of the sting seems to have gone, but he avoids even looking at the general direction of the door, just in case.
Scan? With your eye? Ooh, let me see.
Jack makes a grabby motion at Reese's face. Musing to himself that Jack's one to talk about personal space, Reese allows him to take hold of his hands and move them away to get a closer look. It's always mildly uncomfortable when people stare at his eye, but the fact that the person doing the staring is A. Handsome Jack, his boss's boss's boss, B. the person he'd picked up last night, and C. father of the child he might be tutoring, makes Reese kind of squirm, although he tries his best to stay still. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be enough for Jack, who grabs his chin in one hand and leans even closer, making Reese freeze up, not even daring to breathe.
Good boy,
Jack murmurs distractedly when Reese stops moving, tilting his head to the side to get a better angle before finally releasing Reese's face and stepping back. Reese lets out the breath he'd been holding, trying to ignore his body's reaction to Jack's entirely innocuous words.
Huh. Wonder how I missed that last night. Probably distracted by you grinding up against me. Anyway, interesting piece of tech, that eye of yours. Kinda outdated, but impressive that you got it in the first place. Most people wouldn't dare, especially for a model as old as yours. I'd ask to take a closer look, but I don't think you'd like that. Now, the arm. Come on.
Jack wiggles his fingers expectantly, eyes fixed greedily on Reese's arm.
Look, handsome Jack, sir.
Reese tries to firmly steer the conversation back to Angel and the tutoring. I came here because I was told you were looking for a tutor for your daughter. To his surprise, Jack starts laughing so hard he snorts.
Oh my god, did you seriously think? Oh, kiddo, that's cute. You thought handsome Jack would need a tutor for his kid? Nice try. Angel's a genius way beyond the comprehension of your undoubtedly puny little brain, and anyway, she's getting taught by me, another genius way beyond the comprehension of your puny little brain. It's cute, though, how you think you can match up.
Wiping at his eyes, Jack mutters to himself, tutor for your daughter, and sets off into another fit of laughter. Pricked into irritation, Reese snaps,
well, you're the one who called for a tutor. Oh, someone's prickly today, huh? Need a drink to soften you up, cupcake?
Jack straightens up to smirk at him, still sniggering.
Nah, apparently I'm not giving Angel the opportunity she needs to socialize herself.
His voice goes high-pitched, and he rolls his eyes as he mimics whoever it is he's mimicking.
Stupid jerk faces think they know better than her own father. Maybe for the rest of you mundane people, but Angel's special, and she doesn't need that kind of thing. She's got me.
Toward the end, his voice goes low and kind of, not threatening, but incredibly full of conviction and intensity, and Reese is at a loss for words.
Anyway, no need to worry your pretty little head, Pumpkin. All I want is for someone to come in once a week or so, spend time with Angel, under my supervision, of course, and to convince those social services people that Angel is as normal as any other dumb kid her age. Which she's not, but since they can't seem to grasp that...
Jack shrugs expansively and grins at Reese.
What, did you think I'd actually hire some no-name tutoring agency for my baby girl, when I can afford literally anything else on this planet? Please, the small fry are just easier to intimidate into silence, capiche?
Trying to wrap his head around Jack's reasoning, Reese blurts out the first thing he can think of.
So you could hire me then? Or, okay, maybe not me.
He adds hastily when Jack gives him another look over and a raised, arched eyebrow.
But Fiona has other tutors in her agency. It's not like you need a proper tutor, right?
He winces inwardly at how he's implicitly insulting his own friends and himself, but forges on, keeping the reminder of how much Jack had been willing to pay forefront in his mind. If he's not going to get hired, he can at least help Sasha get the job, right?
I'm not saying you have to hire me. I wouldn't blame you either, but... Sasha, another tutor, she's really good with kids, teaching them and talking to them or whatever. She'll help you convince the social services people if that's what you need. I believe you that Angel's smart, but just in case, Sasha's also really good at tutoring, too.
Jack is once more staring at him like he's a fascinating specimen or something, like he's looking past Reese's skin and bones and into his internal organs. Taking his silence for encouragement, Reese goes on.
She can't come today, but you can set up another appointment with Fiona later this week, and you'll see, really, Sasha's great. Kids just, like, open up to her, you know? One time...
Jack thankfully cuts off his rambling.
Okay, kiddo, I'm sold.
He claps his hands together and lets out a snort of laughter at Reese's surprised expression.
Wait, really? Hold on, let me call Fiona for you.
Reese stumbles over his own words in his excitement as he fumbles for his calm. Maybe he didn't completely fuck things up after all. Fiona might not have to kill him. He might survive with his dignity intact. And maybe keep his internship, too. All these thoughts screech to a halt when Jack reaches forward and plucks the comm from his hand.
Pumpkin.
Jack holds the comm behind him. Right, as if Reese was even going to try and take it back from him, honestly. He's got one robotic hand and no wish to replace it, or get another one to match.
I'm hiring you. Well, technically, I'm already your boss, aren't I? Okay, I'm gonna be double your boss, then. Go on, you can celebrate. No more throwing up, though. That stuff was nasty.
Seeing that Reese isn't making any attempt to get his comm back, Jack moves his hand back in front of him and starts tapping at the comm, at first casually, then with growing irritation.
How do you, outdated piece of... Here, I can't handle your crappy comm. Put my number in it yourself.
Jack tosses Reese's comm at him and turns to stalk into the house. Fumbling to catch it, Reese follows after him.
What? I don't know your number.
Angel, sweetheart, say hello to your new tutor.
Jack ignores his question and waves expansively at Reese. In the living room, Angel sits cross-legged at a low table, several books spread out in front of her. At her father's words, she looks up and smiles at Reese.
Well, go on then, go tutor and stuff. I'll be watching, mind you, like a hawk, with lasers for eyes. Psh, psh.
Jack goes behind Reese and shoves him rudely toward Angel. Reese turns around to give him a scowl, but is only met by a truly demented grin and two thumbs up. Giving up, he goes over to sit next to Angel, warily glancing back at Jack, who's now settled into one of the chairs at the breakfast bar, and is indeed watching them, but nothing like any hawk Reese knows of. Hi, Angel. Jack says you've prepared some stuff for your first tutoring session? At her nod, he continues in a low tone. That's really awesome, and I would high-five you if your dad wasn't sitting there and being really nosy. And follows it up with a conspiratorial wink. She lets out a little giggle at that, and promptly claps her hand over her mouth, eyes darting toward her father. Reese follows her gaze to see Jack narrowing his eyes at him.
What's that? You two gossiping about me already?
Jack calls toward them, but makes no move to get up from where he sprawled over the breakfast bar, eyes still fixed on them.
No, nothing, sir.
Reese replies before turning back to Angel and putting one finger to his lips. He's really relieved when she plays along, nodding seriously and mimicking the gesture.
Well then, want to show me what you got?
After a few hours spent with Angel as she showed him the stuff she was reading and the project she was working on, under Jack's supervision, that is, Reese is actually really impressed. Jack hadn't been exaggerating when he'd said Angel was a genius. For an 8-year-old, she has a surprisingly thorough grasp of physics and engineering, and speaks with the seriousness of an old man, with a vocabulary to match. Not that Reese had been doubting Jack or anything, it was just that sometimes parents didn't really have the best grasp of their child's abilities, and Jack's determination to homeschool her had not been particularly reassuring. This time, though, he suspects that Angel's capabilities are way beyond any tutoring skills, let alone his. However adult-like she might seem, though, she was very much definitely a child, and one who seemed unused to any form of prolonged attention, going by the way she quickly opened up to Reese's attention, and by the way Jack's attention had wandered off in the first 10 minutes, despite the declaration of his intent to observe. He'd stood up after a while and walked off through the door Angel had pointed out as the bathroom earlier in the morning. When Reese had asked Angel, she'd said, "Oh, that leads to my room in the bathroom in Daddy's study." And when Reese had continued staring after Jack, she laid a hand on his and told him very seriously, "You shouldn't go in there, Reese. It's very boring." After 2 hours on the dot, Jack had come back out of wherever he'd been and looked at where Angel and Reese were playing an intense game of slappy hands. Turns out Angel had practically zero contact with other children her age, or many people at all, and was very eager to practice social things she'd read about. Reese couldn't say he approved of Jack's parenting methods, but he was pretty sure he could predict how Jack would react if he said anything, so he just quietly resolved to try to bring as much normal childhoodness to Angel as he could. When Jack sees what they're doing, he rolls his eyes and gestures at Reese to join him. "Hey, sweetie, I'm borrowing Reese for a while. You'll be A-okay on your own, right? Come on, then. Move fast. Chop, chop." That last part's directed at Reese and emphasized with a lot of wild gesticulation and foot tapping. Reese pauses and glances at Angel, who has already placidly taken one of the books out of her pile and started flipping through it. He feels weird just leaving her, though, so he offers her up a fist to fist bump. Startled, she looks up and then gives him a brilliant and incredibly adorable smile before returning the fist bump. When Reese gets up, Jack has the weirdest expression on his face, but he doesn't say anything and instead grabs Reese by the shoulders to propel him through the door. Through the door is a small corridor, and Jack directs him through the door on the right and into an office with a lot of shelves, a heavy-looking desk with a massive screen, and a fantastic view of the stars behind it. Jack finally lets go of Reese to walk around and sit at the desk, gesturing at the space in front of it. "Go on, sit. Let's have a nice chat." However, the only other available chair in the room is currently being weighed down by a pile of... well, he wants to say tech project, but honestly it looks more like junk to him. Lots of wires and half-screwed plates. Reese debates between moving the junk off the chair and disobeying Jack's direct order, eventually decides on not possibly breaking one of Handsome Jack's projects and getting himself killed, and moves to stand in front of the desk. "Huh, what's wrong with that chair?" "Nah, I'm kidding. Good thing you didn't touch my stuff or I would have shot you." Jack taps at the gun in his holster. Reese winces. "Aw, come on, I was kidding about that too. Like I'd actually shoot you with my daughter sitting outside." "Actually, who am I kidding? I totally would." "Okay, but back to business." He leans forward, bracing his forearms on the table. "So, my Angel, what do you think?" Reese looks at Jack's expectant face and finds himself unable to say anything but the truth. "She's an amazing kid. Incredibly intelligent, verbal, and the most patient kid I've ever met." As he speaks, Jack closes his eyes and spreads his arms, beckoning for Reese to continue with a smugly satisfied smile on his face. She's definitely got a better grasp of physics and mathematical theory than I did when I entered university. Her reading breadth is astounding, and she drops in references to philosophers I've never even heard of. It's kind of amazing. She's only 8? Yep. Jack pops the last consonant, eyes still closed, and the beatific smile still on his face. My Angel. He opens his eyes to stare at Reese with a heavy-lidded gaze. You look like you got questions, Pumpkin. Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't even know you had a kid, for one, and I think I'd notice a news article about you. Wait, you're not gonna kill me now that I know you have a kid, right? Reese laughs nervously. Aw, Pumpkin, it's almost like you actually have a pumpkin for a head, you're so dumb. I just told you I was hiring you to tutor her, come on, catch up already. Jack rolls his eyes, an expressive gesture that encompasses his entire body. Yeah, I knew that. Jokes, I was joking. Reese lies weakly. Right. Jack rolls his eyes again before reaching over the table and beckoning at Reese. Confused, Reese looks at Jack's hand, wiggling on the desk, and back up at Jack's face, before hesitantly stepping forward and placing his robotic hand in Jack's. Jack stares at the hand for a while before looking up at Reese with an expression that speaks volumes, and follows it up with, "You're an idiot." Scowling, Reese moves to take his hand back, but Jack grabs hold of it. "At least you're an entertaining idiot. I was asking for your calm, but this works too. Come on, then. I want to take a closer look at this beauty." Jack's practically cooing at Reese's palm, which is quite frankly rather alarming. "How's the articulation? That's some good stuff. Hyperion Mage, you said? Man, I gotta find whoever looked at your project and thought it was worth working on and give him a raise or something. Initiative, I like that. To a point, anyway. You've scored well on that so far, by the way. Good on you. Almost makes up for your gross display of half-digested alcohol last night." Jack pats the side of his forearm absently before turning it to look at the elbow joint, muttering to himself. Reese patiently waits there, kind of bemused. It's not like the design of his arm is anything new or even particularly outstanding. Complex for an undergraduate thesis to undertake alone, perhaps, but he'd heard of some high schooler on Eden 5 who'd done some new things with robotics that put many undergrads to shame, so who knew? Jack eventually looks up from his scrutiny of Reese's hand, but only because Reese was fidgeting and accidentally jerked it. "Not too great at the staying still thing, are you?" he comments, but lets go, and Reese takes his hand back gratefully. "Why'd you call me in here, anyway?" he can't help but ask. "Here." Jack takes a small package out of his desk drawer. "Who's a lucky boy who's getting a brand spanking new comm for free, and a model that's not even out yet, thanks to my generosity? That's right, Pumpkin, it's you!" His tone is saccharine sweet and paired with an obnoxious grin. "I went to check. Do they really not give you interns Hyperion comms? I thought they did. Huh. Anyway, I'm giving you a Hyperion comm, way better than that crap sack one you're carrying, and my details are already in there. Every Saturday, same time as today, you come over, spend some time socializing Angel." The sneer on his face as he air quotes socializing is fairly impressive, even by Jack's standards. "And if you need to change the timings, or if we're not home and there's a change of plans, which shouldn't happen, but, you know, you call me." Reese takes the proffered comm and turns it over in his hands, frowning. It's bright yellow and black, and almost as small as the one he saw Angel playing with earlier. "Something wrong, Cupcake?" Shrugging, Reese places the comm into his pocket. Nope, sir. Wait, actually..." He takes a deep breath. "Not trying to shoot myself in the foot here or anything, but... why'd you change your mind? About hiring me, that is." When he looks up, Jack is once again giving him the inscrutable look he had earlier after Reese fist-bumped Angel. "Never mind. I'll just go back to the living room." Reese backs away, fumbling behind him for the door. "Yeah, don't shoot yourself in the foot, not unless you're prepared to clean it up." Jack waves him off. "Oh wait, one last thing. Two things. The door to these rooms is coded only to Angel and myself. If you need to piss, get Angel to open it for you, because the toilet's in here too. Also, I should probably let you know that I'm not going to fire you at Hyperion or anything, so long as you know how to keep your mouth shut. Drop by to make insinuations or disparage your entire office's work, maybe. Okay, probably. But who hasn't gotten drunk and felt up their boss before, am I right?" He winks at Reese before turning back to his screen. Reese watches on for a while, marveling internally at how he's seeing handsome Jack in his own home, and how he maybe possibly might get to see more of it in the future. Then Jack looks up, one eyebrow quirked, and says, "Go on, get. When it hits 5, you can go back. There'll be a car waiting. You can piss off any time now." Reese takes the hint and leaves. When he gets back, it's to an empty house. A note on the fridge says Vaughn got dragged out shopping with Fiona, please come rescue him. Snickering, Reese scribbles a, "Ha ha, have fun," and a smiley face on the end of the note, and sends a picture of it to Vaughn. That done, he goes to flop on his bed, and has the freak out that he's been holding off since Angel had opened the door this morning. Of all the... he'd picked up handsome Jack while drunk, how even? Mournfully, he wonders how sex with Jack might have gone. The worst thing is, it's not even like this is a new fantasy of his or anything. Sure, the CEO of Hyperion was pretty much every comp sci student's idol and fantasy, but now he knows what Jack's hands feel like when they grab at his thighs, that Jack could probably hold him up against a wall, and that Jack very definitely has a neck thing, going by the massive bruise on his throat that twinges just as he thinks about it. He guiltily touches the hickey with his flesh hand, enjoying the ache and the knowledge of who left it there. Unbidden, he gets a flash of last night, specifically of Jack's weight pressing down on him, and the feel of the muscles in Jack's back underneath his hand. Groaning, he turns over on the bed, pressing down into his mattress. The temptation to just give in and rut into the bed while pressing against the hickey is incredibly strong, but the remaining shreds of his self-preservation and dignity are screaming at him to please not jerk off to the guy who just hired him, and so he gives up and goes to take a very cold shower.